God is really working in all of us, continually energizing us, and it's up to us to respond to that energizing. It all depends where we set our mind. We're perfect in the spirit because of the spirit of God that dwelleth in us. That spirit is perfect. We have a carnal nature. We have some old programming in us. And sometimes when we're looking to the world and the things around us, it can stir up various emotions, thoughts, or there might be situations going on, and then we kind of respond with our carnal mind. And we know that the carnal mind is death, but the spiritual mind is life and peace. And sometimes people just get overwhelmed with different circumstances and situations or the conditions they're living in. They may not have seen a change in an area that they really desire that deliverance from God. But we know God is faithful, and you know God will never leave us nor forsake us. He's a great God of encouragement. And if we can just really see the heart of God, and as we continue to be led by Him and go to Him and grow in our relationship with God, we just see the greatness of His love. He really loves every single person on it. He really cares about every detail of your life. God's word does good like a medicine. I was sharing that with Becky today. So He's got the answers. He's got the prescriptions. He's got the right medication for us. And it's His heavenly words and His great and precious promises, which are yes in Christ and amen. He wants us to be wealthy in health, wealthy in His spiritual wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, wealthy in our relationship, wealthy in vision and wealthy in desires and wealthy in goals. And He wants us to be wealthy in our fellowships with other people. He wants us to be led by Him and not look at anyone else in the flesh. If we're walking carnally, we're looking at other people in the flesh. We're judging them. You know, we can be criticizing them, how they live. We can be criticizing what they're saying. And that's carnal. God doesn't do that. God is such a great God of compassion and love. You know, and we see this in the life of Jesus Christ when He spoke with Nicodemus, when He spoke with many different people with their different perspectives and understanding. And He was always looking to encourage other people He knew that wouldn't believe. You know, He corrected them and He challenged them, especially the Pharisees, the ones that were supposed to be teaching God's people. So really, we've got a great and mighty God, and He's working in all of you mightily. He's not stopping working in you. And so it's getting our minds in line with that Spirit of God that dwelleth in us. And then once we are thinking those heavenly thoughts, we've set our affections on things above and not on things of this earth, then we can really move and enjoy the life that God has given us. God wants you to enjoy this life. It's not about being right all the time. It's about your heart being right with the Father. And then He can really work in you. He can really make you shine as that light. He can bring to you the things that He wants and has already provided for you through Christ Jesus. And we've got to remember, we're heirs of God. And we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are righteous, we're justified, sanctified, redeemed, and we have those wonderful words of ministry of reconciliation. And we're very powerful. We're seated at His right-hand side. We're seated at the right-hand side of God. And we can rule and reign in this life by one Jesus Christ. He's paid the price. He's laid everything out. He's done everything. He's accomplished everything. And the scriptures say we are complete. Do we really believe what it says? You are complete. There's nothing lacking in you. There's nothing lacking in that gift that God's put in you. And as we set our minds to God, and as we say what He says, we're being renewed in the life of our mind. You know, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're proving God in our life. If you want to prove God to someone else, prove Him in your life, in the things that you do, in the application of the things that He's shown you to do. And then you can really be that witness. You can really shine as that light. You know, and I was sharing with someone today, you know, I don't preach or teach or speak the things that I'm not living. But the things that I know that are beneficial, the things that I know that work for me will work for you. And I'm not doing it premeditated. I'm allowing God to work in me. I'm allowing that Christ in me to come out of me. And God is well pleased with this. And He's happy with you. No, God is really happy with you. And when we're walking in the carnal, we can get mixed up in so many different relations, judging, you know, that he ain't doing this right, she's not doing that right, he said this to me, she said that to me. And when God looks at that, it's just like my kids arguing. You know, when they were younger, they would argue, oh, he done that and she done this. And they was always trying to get the one up on each other, you know. But we don't have to do that, because God is a God of promotion. He wants to promote you. And as we walk with him, as we're led by him, he can really promote you into the position that he wants you to be in, so that you can deliver his words in front of the people that he's put in front of you. And see, like, you're not going to make the word move all over the world. God, that's on God. Our job is to be in position with God in our thinking, in our actions, in our thoughts, in our minds, and in our response to the Heavenly Father. Our job is to sow and water, to speak, to declare, and to pray for those laborers. It's on God to give the increase. And when those conditions are right, when we are looking to God and dependent upon him in that grace, where we've entered into his rest, we know it's God that does the work, and he's leading and he's guiding. When we follow out on the words and the inspired thoughts that he puts in your heart, then you start to see great things happen. And I'm very thankful, because my life's changed. My life has changed since I come back from India. I'm living a fantastic life. Not every day's full of roses, but every day's happy. Every day, if I got a situation comes up, I get the solution and I get the answer, because I turn to God. I go to him. And he'll direct me. He'll show me what to do. He'll put a thought and idea in my heart. He might direct me to the scriptures to go and look at something, and I'll go and look and I'll get the answer. He might show me to go and connect to my minister. He might share me to share something with another strong believer that will give me heavenly words. But the more I practice living this life with God and taking everything to him, looking only to him, the more I realize that he gives you the answers. But God says, be still and know that he is God. We don't have to be so busy trying to make everything happen. God is the one that's going to do the work. And so my encouragement is that you go to God, you look to him. And in life, situations come up. In life, we have things that go on, but we need to be aware of where we are when we're in those situations. We need to be spiritually awake to what's going on. And we need to bring God in on every situation. He doesn't violate any free will choices here, right? But when we turn to him and bring him in on a situation, then he brings his answers, his solution, his wisdom, his direction. God is the one that really wants each person on here to be blessed. He wants you to be very happy every day. Yes, there is an enemy, but we don't focus on him, because he's defeated. We got to realize he is under our feet. We know that he can come in if we speak the wrong words, if we're thinking the wrong things. And I was sharing with Becky also today about Job. You know, Job was an upright man, one that eschewed God. He had integrity and he worshipped God, and his family was blessed and they would fellowship with each other. But he kept saying in his heart, it may be that they've sinned. And he would make sacrifices. So he was confessing, meditating upon that every day. And then he was taking action upon it by making sacrifices for them. And then the sons of God presented themselves before God. And Satan said, you know, have you considered your servant Job? Basically, Satan was like kind of trying to tempt God, wasn't he? You know, if you take everything away that he has. You know, God had blessed him. He was the richest man in the East. Can't we see right there that God wants you prosperous in every area of your life? But Job's words allowed the enemy to come in. We've got to watch what we say and what we think about our loved ones, about ourselves, about other believers. We don't give any foothold to allow him in when he's defeated, when he's under your feet. And so, you know, God says, well, you know, everything that he has is in your power, because it's in this world, but on you can't take his life, basically. But we all know the story on here of Job, and we know what God done when Job held his integrity. God blessed him back double, with everything that he had lost. And his latter end was really blessed. You know, God has a plan and a purpose and a future for you. He knows your latter end. It's going to be blessed. It's blessed right now. So God wants us to speak this heavenly language, and he wants us to speak his heavenly truths. And we don't speak the negatives. We've got to stop judging. Judgment will open up the door for the enemy to come in. He hasn't got no jurisdiction, but you've just given permission to come on in and mess with your life. When you start judging another believer, when you start judging even unbelievers, whoever it is. So God really wants us to have that mind of Christ. We got the mind of Christ. We just need to focus it to God. We got the direct access to Him. And when there's situations going on, we know that God is with us and for us, and He's going to provide greatly for us. And I went through a record in Joshua. You know, Moses had been leading the children of Israel for all those years, and Joshua was this, you know, second in command type of thing, and Moses had died, and these guys were grieving for a period of time, and then God spoke to Joshua and said, Moses, my servant, is dead. And then He gave him some instruction. God encouraged. God is a God of encouragement. And God encouraged Joshua in that situation. You imagine being led by this great man of Moses, and all of a sudden, he's fallen asleep. And you know, you've just put yourself in that situation. And I just want to read that record. Again, so it says now, Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, it says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the lands which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Now look at the wonderful encouragement God gives. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. So God keeps His promises from generation to generation. God made a covenant. God does not break covenant. He does not break agreements. And we got the greatest covenant through Jesus Christ right now. And all the promises of God are yes in Christ and amen. And He says, for the will from every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. First of all, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, to the waters of the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Man, what a promise just in that. That's great encouragement in itself. The fear of man taken away through the words of God right to Joshua's heart. As I was with Moses, and Joshua knew how God was with Moses and what God done by him and through him and with him, so shall I be with thee. Wow. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And then He goes on to encourage him. He gives him a command. He says, be strong. So we can either be strong or we can be weak. When we turn to the carnal, we're being weak. We've made a decision to be weak. We may not look at it like that, but that's exactly what you've done, or what I've done, if we decide that. But when we turn to look to God, that's being strong in itself. Be strong and of a good courage. Courage means that no matter if there's fear in front of you, you've got courage to stand up against it and to walk straight through it, whether it's fears there or not. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou defy for an inheritance the land which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. See, God had a promise, He had a covenant, He had a promised land waiting, and He needed someone, a point of contact in this earth, that was going to do His will from their hearts. Moses is now gone, so now he needed someone else, and God had already rose him up. He was called Joshua, and He's encouraging him. God needed Joshua. He needed men like Joshua. He needs men and women today like Joshua. Are you that person? Or are you going to stay in your traditions and argue over doctrine? Or are you going to listen to the one true God, the one that can speak directly to your heart, the one that can navigate you perfectly by His Spirit? Because that's what He's given it to you for, to lead you, to guide you, to speak by your mouth. He needs a willing and obedient heart. Verse 7, and then He says again, only be thou strong. There's no room for a little doubt. There's no room for a little bit of anxiety. There's no room for a little bit of worry, fear, or anything. Worries and fears is using unbelief, and you get the results of that. Confidence and trust is using faith. You get the wonderful results of that. Only be thou strong and very courageous. You need to step out in strength. You know, as God shows you, you might see a situation that you think is going to overwhelm you. But you've got to be courageous, because you've got the Spirit of God in you, so you can be. And you know that God is behind you. And he's with you. And as he energizes you and as you follow his lead, nothing will hurt you. No man is going to raise a hand against you to hurt you. Their hands will become paralyzed. They try to touch you. This is the authority you've got. These are the words you can declare. Only be thou strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do. See, you're listening now. You're listening to what I'm saying. Or you hope you are. So that you can observe to do. And then it says here, according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left. Don't look to the senses. That thou mayest prosper wherever so thou goest. See, look, it's the will of God for you to prosper. It's the will of God to you to live in a land flowing with milk and honey. This is the absolute heart of God. First, say, it said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate. And this word meditate means to mutter, to say, to confess, to declare, therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. When you start saying what God says, it's getting in your heart. You know, you might have to start off manufactured a little bit to remember some of the things God's energizing you and what's written. These great and precious promises. The more you say it, the more it's there. And you can observe to do that. You see what I'm saying? I am seated at the right hand side of God. I'm not touched by the force of this world, even though I'm in it. I'm not touched by the financial force in this world, even though I'm in it. That's my declaration. I've observed God and I know I can say this. I know it's true. And I know God will back that up and make that happen for me. Because I'm saying what he wants me to say. Thou shalt meditate in their day and night, and then that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way what? Prosperous. Not just get by, but prosperous. And then thou shalt have some success. It doesn't say that. It says good success. Have not I commanded thee, he says again. So that's three times. Have not I commanded thee. Be strong. Like, be strong in God. Be strong in these heavenly words. Be strong in saying what God says. Be strong in your connections. Be strong in your fellowship. Be strong in your honoring God. Be strong in speaking in tongues. Be strong in going to God every day. Don't be distracted. Stop being distracted. Because this is what happens when you get distracted. It says, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. Stop being afraid. Don't worry about the conditions of the world. Do not be afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee. See, God is with you, and he doesn't want you to be dismayed. And this word dismayed means to be shattered. No, you could be shattered by looking at the things in this world, by focusing on what's going on, by looking at the worries, the fears, and the doubts, and the scaremongering. You could be shattered in your heart, and your mind, and your emotions. There's another word for this word, dismayed, in Isaiah 41:10. When it's like this one, that word means to be dismayed because of anxiety. When you've got anxiety, when you've got worries, fears and doubts, you can't do nothing because you're frozen in fear. And when you're frozen in fear, then you've opened up the door for all those negative things to happen when the enemy hasn't got no jurisdiction. See, we've got to get this in the mind because we always say the adversary, this the adversary, but there was a point of access he had that somehow he got there. He got that permission because he's got no authority. So we don't give him the permission from our actions or for our thoughts or through our words. Because, you know, even Jesus Christ could not have been taken. He had to give up his life. He had to lay it down. God wants us to be strong going to him. Strong following this encouragement that's been given right now. Strong in your fellowship with him, in your prayer life. Strong in all those points that is going to really benefit you. You know, when Jesus Christ went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he was pressed. We know that's the Garden of Olives, Gethsemane, right? And to get the juice out of the olives, what do you got to do? You got to crush it. And Jesus Christ was crushed there. He paid for your anxiety. He paid for your nervousness. He paid for all these negative things that can happen in that old nature of yours when we're walking in it. He's paid for it. He's paid for those false minds and emotions. He was crushed in there. He sweated blood, drops of blood. That's the pressure that was in. If you go read the record and look up some of those words, they'll blow your mind. And he asked the disciples to pray with him, and they fell asleep. And he come back, he said, you know, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that word willing means ready. The spirit is ready. you're ready to go right now. You haven't got time to go through classes. You haven't got time to sit here and there. But God's work is right in front of you. The fields are white unto harvest, but the labourers are few. And God is looking for people with a willing heart. And when you've received that Spirit of God, when you've lined up and you've received these sound words, you're ready to go. In India, there's people that have no Bibles. They don't even know there's a Bible. But they hear these heavenly words, like I'm speaking right now. And they're encouraged. You can heal the sick. You can raise the dead. You can cleanse the lepers. You've got great power. You've got the Spirit of God. Now you speak in tongues. That's the first thing they get them to do, speak in tongues. And then to speak by the Spirit. So they get them to move. And there's been testimonies of people being born again the first day, finding out that they've got this great authority and they've raised people from the dead. No classes. See, there's nothing wrong with the Scriptures. The Scriptures is our base. The Scriptures is the inspired words from God that was written down, which is now the graphe. But the Word of God is what you speak. The Rhema, the Logos, the heavenly words. And you have to get clear on that point. And the Scriptures show you this. And so we got to just keep our focus there. And we can't have a fear of man. Like Marie was saying, she's not worried about what anyone says no more. Because you've got to get rid of that. When you get rid of the fear of man, what they're going to say because of what you're saying, you're going to do great things. God can really work in you and energize in you. We have this great confidence towards God. And the way you get over any anxiety is to start saying what God says. The way you get over depression is to start saying what God says. You've got authority. Use your authority. You declare poverty out. You declare sickness out. You declare confusion out. You declare these spirits to leave right now if there's any hanging around, try and manipulate you. And be careful what you listen to. I speak to many people. God really does give these heavenly words for people. And the humble ones that receive it really are getting results. And it's all glory to God. So I'm just a mere man, but I got the Spirit of God in me, and He's given the wisdom. It's God's wisdom. God has given us His wisdom, knowledge, and joy. In Ecclesiastes 2:26, I believe it is, it says, God gives to a man which is good in his sight, wisdom, knowledge, with joy. Because when you've got the wisdom and knowledge, you've got joy. But to the sinner, He gives travail, hard labour, that he to give to him which is good before God. The unbelievers are working hard. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. The wrong people have got the money, but God's going to change that around as we keep Him first with all our hearts. So that we can have the great influence, that we can do more on the physical level with the spiritual. And so God is providing for us greatly. Deuteronomy 8 says, it's me that's giving you power to get wealth. That power to get wealth is His wisdom, knowledge, and joy. If you want to prosper, you've got to prosper first in your heart and with these truths. And as you prosper, you begin to do these things. So you begin to prosper. So like the speaking in tongues, very, very important. Speaking by the Spirit, very, very important. The connections, very, very important. The people that connect will shout, tell you that. And then they're doing it not because somebody else is doing it. They're doing it because they want to. They're going to God first, and then God's directing their heart. But sometimes pride can keep you from doing that, right? Why do I need to connect to a man? Well, if he's a minister and God wants you to do it, then if you're going to be led by God, if you're going to really be fruitful for God, then you'll do what God says. God showed me. I've been around 36 years doing this stuff. Why do I need to connect to a minister? Because I need someone better than me. I need someone that's practicing it more and someone that's getting results and someone that's doing it. God showed me this. And so I humbled to God and I'm so glad I did. Because I'm benefiting. Even if you don't do it, I'm benefiting. It's like I share with people, listen, what I'm sharing with you is what I'm doing. And I'm benefiting. I've delivered the message. Now it's up to you. Nothing to do with me. It's between you and God. There's this great freedom. There's this great liberty that we have. And so my encouragement is to you is just to, you know, just consider things. Consider these words. Take them to God. Why don't you give it a go? Why don't you practice it and see the change coming on in your life? Rather than sitting there down, did he rightly divide that? Did he say that Hebrew right? Did he say that Greek word right? You know, so really, like, God is doing this great work, so we just keep focused with Him. We give our desires. He's working His desire in you. We say that desire. We declare that desire. This is what I'm going to do with God. I'm moving God's word for all of the UK, for all of Europe, USA and the world. God has given me many ready-to-go laborers, many ready fields. And we need to say it. God always spoke before He done something, so must we. And God is the one that's energizing it in your heart. It's very simple. And we need to be bold when we're speaking with people, because people need direction. There's so many lone rangers with their own little doctrine in their minds, doing it their own way, but they're not getting the fullness of what God wants them to have. And so God wants all of us to be very successful, and He loves you, He's for you. Some of us just got to cease from some of the things that we're doing that is hindering God from blessing you. Because it's got to be God's way, not our way. And God's way is very simple, very loving, very encouraging. And as we speak and do these things, then that environment where you are is created for you to flourish and grow. And get it in your heart and mind. God does want you to prosper. Now, in your heart and mind first, in your application of what He's given you. And then the other manifestations of the prosperity, money, locations, where you want to go, starts to show up. God already laid on, and when the children of Israel went into the promised land, everything all ready for them. Because this is the will of God. We see it with Job. Job was the richest man of the East. Solomon didn't even ask for any money, and God was eager to give it to him. He blessed him with long life and great riches, right? And when we got the right mind concerning money, then it will come to us. We can put it to work for us. Money is a tool, and money is a servant to us, not a master to us. And then honoring God with our substance. You know, you might have multiple sources of income, but only give from one of your incomes. But God says, honor the Lord with thy substance and the first fruits of all thy increase. Of all thy increase. If you've got A, B, C, and D, and I think, well, my main job is this one, I'm just going to honor that. If you really want to flourish and grow, then everything that comes to you, God wants you to honor. When you, and I do that, and that's why I'm sharing it, you really get blessed. You've got to make it a spiritual thing in your mind and not a carnal thing. Because a lot of people look at things carnally at times. We can let the carnal mind come in on that. And the other thing is that I want to share, which I also share today, is that, you know, sometimes when God has made us successful, people can get jealous. I was sharing with someone today that when Sangate would used to send me pictures of him going out having meals and doing all the lovely things, years ago this is for me, I used to think, oh yeah, it's all right for you, look at me, I'm struggling here and I'm doing the same as you. But my heart was wrong. And then God taught me a big lesson years later, which was, when you see someone, a believer, being successful, rejoice. Rejoice in what they're doing. If they're out for a meal and they send you a video, I like to send videos now. I thought that was good what Sangate done, because that built my faith when I had the right mind. So then I would send videos out to other people, and I'm out for an Indian, or we go out with Kim, and I thought, oh yeah, this would bless people. But God showed me not everyone celebrates your success. Not everyone celebrates you having a meal. So we've got to use wisdom with these things as well. But these things, if it's received with the heart mind, can really encourage faith. And when you rejoice in somebody else's success, God will give you your success. So these are just a few practical things and things that were in my heart and what I wanted to share. And so thank you for listening.